Hello and welcome to the second Words Out Loud podcast, brought to you from social isolation in sunny Ballarat. My name's Jason Narung, and with me is my co-host, Kirsten McDermott.
Hello. It's not so sunny today, but...
Today was lovely.
Yes, but we're recording at night.
Well, there is that. It's probably sunny somewhere.
I've just broken the spell of radio, haven't I?
There we go. There we go.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for sending in all your things again this month. Our podcast last month was really well received, and we're so happy to hear that you enjoyed listening to it. We know it's not the same as gathering together in person at a lovely venue, but hopefully that will happen again soon. We would expect that there'll be one more of these podcasts in June, and then fingers crossed, we may be able to meet some of you again in person in July, but that's not definite yet. So we'll just all keep our fingers crossed that things can stay safe and perhaps less isolated than they have been.
Yes, indeedy. And we're very happy to have a solid baker's dozen of performers tonight. Tonight's theme, which is not compulsory, they never are, but tonight's theme was Time After Time, which I'm actually going to rewind the time.
Oh, God.
I'm rewinding. I'm turning back the clock.
Oh, no.
Because, unfortunately, last month for our April edition, we had a couple of submissions that got caught in the spam folder.
Yeah. Don't know why.
Doesn't happen at a live night, but
no,
there you go.
Maybe we should have a spam filter at the live night. That'd be cool.
Oh, okay. I think that's me. I think people feel for me. Yeah. Anyway.
But no, we did. We had a couple of people contact us after the last show going, hey, you didn't play my thing. And yes, good old Google had decided that was a no. So we have rescued them from the spam filter and wrung them out and dried them off. And we're going to lead off this podcast with those two particular pieces. And just as a reminder, the theme that those folks were writing to was last month's theme, which was Jason.
It was Road to Nowhere. So ending up in the spam filter was kind of on theme. Might give extra points for those two.
Okay.
Marvelous job.
So who's up first?
Right. Well, first up, very happy to have with us in virtual, Frank Thompson.
One of our regulars at Words Out Loud. We miss you, Frank.
Yes. His short story is called Nowhere, and here it is.
A short piece about driving nowhere on Sundays. During the week, I live the treadmill life of the wage slave, making believe I am useful in a job that is pointless. House cleaning and shopping dominate Saturdays. There is no going out to play. And then Sunday is a lonely day. I certainly don't kneel down and pray. There are no commitments, nothing. It is the lull before stormy Monday. At least those are my perceptions. And they, whoever they are, keep telling me perception is reality. With no real purpose or destination, I take to the road, perhaps in search of something, something I don't know I've lost or perhaps never had. The highway out of town is busy in both directions. It's Sunday, for God's sake. Why aren't these people in church or doing family things, not going nowhere with me? I will go the back way from Binalong to Geelong to Cunningar. The further I go, less traffic. Turning off the highway faster than I should, the car twitches and recovers. I urge it forward over the first rise and the yellow-orange gravel road stretches out before me, undulates over hills before losing itself among the green and blue of the distance. Green fields and yellow fields and brown fields pass in a litany of agricultural endeavour, freshly ploughed earth. The car slides a little as I brake hard for the right turn leading to the narrow old bridge across the railway. Brick parapets block the view of the tracks below. The trains out here are long lines of clanking steel, headed by iron mammoths, lumbering nose to tail, snaking their way across the countryside. I don't know why I love taking the back road. Whatever it is I'm looking for, I won't find it among the sheep paddocks and empty acres. Once the province of squatters, much is still owned by old money and absent landlords, wealthy globalites who fly the polo team in for the annual match against the locals. In Geelong, the streets are wide and empty. The peppercorn trees sigh forgetfully. There is a faded for sale sign on the old pub, and nobody has taken anything away from the takeaway for a long time. I've never seen anybody mowing the grass or trimming the verge, yet everything is neat and tidy. Out of Geelong, along Linden Road, down the hill, the railway line. A stop sign to be obeyed, regardless. A farmhouse watches from a distance. I suppose somebody must live there. No doubt my passing will be noted. I travel more sedately. I want the moment to last. This feeling of having the world to myself. At the top of the rise, a grey dead tree trunk stands erect. A sentinel pointing the way. But to what? I stop the car and get out. There is no movement. The dust trail I left behind has all but drifted off. And I stand there and look out across the rolling countryside. Hilltop country, dotted by the occasional tree. There are some sheep grazing in the distance. A dark green line marks the wriggle of the creek between the hills. My eyes follow it till it disappears. It is deliciously silent, and a soft breeze caresses the tiredness from my face. I stand there, waiting for the epiphany, the moment when love stretches out across the abyss and makes a sign. But no, there is only the squawk of a crow and the annoying presence of flies, and I realise I am nowhere.
Yes, that was Frank Thompson with a piece written to the Road to Nowhere theme, which we've just realised was actually the theme for March, which was our cancelled night.
I've just lost complete track of all time.
See, it's time after time. We're all on theme, even though we're kind of not. So, yes, the theme for April was actually Underneath the Radar, which is what our next performer, Davey, has written her piece to. Okay, now, Davey has sent us two selections, each with two works in them. So we've split those up. The first will be for Underneath the Radar, and then fortunately they both kind of apply anyway. So we'll hear from Davey later as well in the Time After Time section. But for now, here is Rebel Chook and another untitled piece from Davey.
Rebel Chook. Each night before they turned off the lights in the big house, she checked on the eggs, after which her weight would slowly shift onto the ground. Then she settled for a rest, closing her eyes. The wooden box sat in the corner. Droppings and feathers caught on splinters, sticking out of the grain, clung to the outside of the box. Eggs were collected each day. Big white shells warmed into the hands of the owner. One night, as the bats flew across, as they do at sunset, and the music started blaring from the house, signaling dinner was over, the old man came out into the backyard. There was alcohol in his breath. He tilted his hat and sang as he arranged scraps of food into their feeding tray. Suddenly, she felt his chilly hand under her abdomen. She yelped. No sooner had her tough beak pecked hard on his hand, he slapped her on the head, still smiling and talking to himself. This time, his hand not only dug under her, but he tapped on one egg. Out came a few tiny yellow feathers, and a small chook stood with its eyes shut. Knew it was time, he said, and laughed. The hen then chuckled and moved the new one under her wing. Second piece. Over and over, the engine had faltered under the huge bays. Rollers scratched the air with no response, let alone getting airlifted. What a story, he thought, collapsing debris into a plastic bucket. Wiping the kitchen bench, thinking of his mother's orders, came back to him. He loved them, he hated them, but he did them. In his own home, there was a choice. He had a choice. But at work, he did not. For hell's sake, he was a pilot. Surely incidents like these in the middle of nowhere could have some orderly do the trick. What were the stewards there for? They only cared for the meals. He was father, mother, the lot. A whirr and a louder buzz changed to a whistle. Ooh, the propellers started to move, gears shifting. Like the wings of a bird, his father used to say. The wings of a bird hath no conscience to rise or descend. Like his love of airplanes, motor engines, and electronic games. Like a whale beached on the scrub, the plane which lay flat was now a dainty little flyer. He was off.
And that was Davey once again with two avian-themed pieces. Thank you very much, Davey. We look forward to hearing from you again later in the podcast. And once again, our apologies to both Frank and Davey for their brief stay in our spam filter. We'll try not to let that happen again.
I'm watching it like a hawk these days,
yes,
trust me.
Yes, there should be no more spam filter refugees, we hope. So now we're going to move on to the pieces that people have sent us in the last month, some of which are written to the theme of time after time, some of which aren't because the themes are not compulsory here. But feel free to use them as a writing prompt if you like, and we will let you know next month's theme at the end of the podcast. But first up, we have four pieces from a semi-regular at Words Out Loud, Fraser Mackay.
Words. If a thought can be a word, then a swarm of words could be an army, sprawled, broken and bloodied in a nest of stars. An idea could be a jar of preserved fruit high up on the pantry shelf, like last night when you looked up there for tomatoes to add to the minestrone and found whole constellations, tears of grief, gales of mirth deep into the night. Reading Grandma's Diary. Sailing away. Once damp fingers plied the rope, we tacked to the channel. The sun glared back from the polished deck. Salt stung a tiny cut. We laughed. Waves of excitement washed over us. Now, I suppose, I'm disconnected. Billowed sails no longer excite. Shackles lay rusted in the kit box. Life has become an abstract painting, complex, flat. A dream passed over. And mother? A couple of old photos, the gloss dulled, images washed out. We didn't need music, such a perfect dance. One hesitated to move for fear of shattering the mirror. That too now turning to dust. She was never really there. Before we got started, it was over. Orendo. I don't know how I'm travelling. Decades ago, I was excited that at last I got the parchment. Ah, the fury, the passion, the yoke. Now dread. As far as the mind can see, a restless stream of foreigners unpacking their terrible luggage. Enthusiasm has become a stranger to my door. I struggle with doubt. I sleep big hours. And I think of you, measured, relaxed, on the homewood veranda, caring for your plants, to eventually leave for the clinic in your old Peugeot, driving down the road so cheerful, as if you were off to visit a cherished friend. Agency. Night fading, the eastern horizon yet to ignite. A pigeon stirs on its perch. Adrift in a dream, you see a burning house. You hear an insistent knock. Streets rush into a light beam. Who were you before being taken hostage, fragmented your memory, concealed your other self? In the road, a fox turns a red eye to the oncoming storm and then disappears like water, pouring itself into a dark river.
And thank you, Fraser. That was four poems, Words, Sailing Away, Arendo, and Agency. And Fraser also sent us a photograph to sort of set the mood for those pieces, which is on this blog post, along with some others that people have sent in, which is always lovely. Next up, we have Robin Taylor, and Robin has really taken the theme of time and run with it. So enjoy these, Time and When You Are Older.
My name is Robin Taylor, and I wrote the poem Time in 2019 when I had achieved a certain age, birthday, and didn't think I was quite ready for it. Here we go, Time. Life is a journey without maps, a series of pathways we follow to this belief and that desire, this beginning and that ending, until finally we arrive at a place beyond anything we can possibly imagine. Like patterns in a kaleidoscope, we turn and mirror and collide into each other, affecting what seems to be a chance meeting when the opposite could be true. We believe life will be endless time until we find we are limping and rolling our bodies through the best of it. Our paths trying to avoid aged cares gain on us. We hope there will be more time, more chances, more choices, love, satisfied or not. But life is not a straight line. Life's paths twist and turn through what is and what it seems. And time seems to be a flash, a lizard's blink between birth and the final goodbye. We tell ourselves it's not time, not yet, not me, with our demise floating overhead like a party balloon, drifting aimlessly, probably more guided than we know, to him and her and them, not me, not me. We want more time for more decisions, more errors, more revisions, but we are like the dandelion. We've spread our genes and now it's time to accept the unpredictable, inevitable transition. We'll look at our choices, now blurred like old black and white photographs. Look at the memories, snagged ragtails in a sock. No one knows at the beginning of a choice what the end consequence will be. We know after a while it will be time to be like the dandelion, floating off weightless, carried by the wind. But in the meantime, we want just a glimpse more of life on the way to being gone. As the great clock keeps on turning, we wish for more time, a while more for this journey between youth and age, a while more before we arrive at where we started, still not recognising just how brief a while can be. Thank you. With a poem called When You Are Older. When you are older, you learn the young will always be in a hurry. Life is an untold story of many stories. Hindsight will reveal many things not meant to be seen at the time. The worst battle is between what you know and what you feel, and people will hurt you and then act like you hurt them. You will see there is the other side of kindness. You will see yourself in strange places with strange people. And you will wonder how you did not see the rodent behind the smile, how you did not see how others took your energy and used it as their own, how you did not see the friend who was always there to pick you up when you were knocked down by a curveball. And when you are older, you learn that everybody's truth is not the same. You learn some people use the truth recklessly. You learn you can be too close to see the hidden things distance will show you later. You learn anything can happen at any time and expectations cannot be relied upon. You also learn to no longer be tricked by the sound of the word love. You learn love is like a dollar coin. It has two sides. You learn if you do not love yourself, you will never believe another can love you. And you finally learn love will find you when you are no longer looking. You will also find that within hindsight, insight waits to slip in between remembering and wondering. And understanding comes in almost a hint, almost a whisper. This is the knowing you will know in later years, for it is not until you are older that you will see how all the challenges, changes, and assholes moved you out of those safe corners of life you were safely lazing in, onto a new path and a new life you had no idea was waiting for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin, for those very wise words of wisdom. I will take them to heart and try to remind myself that, yes, time does change and we do learn, or we try to learn as it goes on. And hopefully we all get a bit wiser and a bit perhaps a bit more patient, especially under the circumstances. But thank you. Next up, we have Anna Bilborough with a beautiful and evocative piece. I've really enjoyed listening to it, and I hope you all do as well.
Football fires. Fires and football anthems. I see my nose in their faces. Arms find comfort on shoulders. Solace in my sister's presence. I don't know you yet. Last seen when 12. I want my face to be unfamiliar. This night will be the night for the next 8 years. Until the next one. Plastic chairs and sponge cake. Jokes I don't understand but feel like I should. I remember the nerves when parking, backing into a fucking boulder and the stupidity of it all. Laughter sings and echoes. We find a pool table. Naked women are framed on the walls. A red-haired kid interrupts the game. We scurry away, bloody kids with no shame. We grimace at our retreat. How are we related to him? I can't drink. Newly licensed. Don't drink much anyway. We charge our phones in the footy club kitchen. I scavenge together a cup of tea. My cousin threatens to cut the tip of his tongue off. He wants to talk to us and doesn't know how. We're the same age. Too long an intermission. This is my father's family. They talk in histories while their heels sink. A family friend locks me in around the fire. I've known her my whole life. I swallow the baby talk. The sky is dark and the women sit in camp chairs. The men stand, joke, chant. I watch, knowing this is his place, wishing it could be mine too. He's been quitting for years. A stranger has the six. I remember the smell of it on his jacket when he'd come in and kiss me goodnight. He'd have a stubby in one hand, caress my head with the other. The weight of his hand, the calloused fingers, the sea scent through his palm. He hooks an arm around the stranger. Give me a dart or I'll kiss ya. We'd booked a hut in the bush, a truck out the front. It seemed the scene of a murder. It was cold and stone. A hobbit home. Dolls with rouged cheeks and lace dresses lined my bed. We drove home from my uncle's that night. Left him alone. Do you mind? But blue eyes betray nothing.
Thanks, Anna, for that lovely family vignette there. And it's a timely one because Anna's mum is actually coming up later in the program, which is a real thrill to have two members of the same family on the program. So next up, we have Neville Hyatt. Neville, bless him, had to camp outside his local library to snaffle some Wi-Fi. Told us he had his laptop plugged into some extension cords to get these two pieces to us. He's sent us some pictures to go with them as well, which is lovely. So we have a bit of a love poem and what feels to be a little bit of a memoir called Looking Out of My Window, at my hospital window to follow up. So here's Neville.
Memories. She was just a one-night stand, the drummer of the local band. I knew picking her up from the bar, it wouldn't go far. I just wanted to walk out the door, but she wanted more. She thought I was someone to be found, like a lost dog from the pound. But I had to draw the line in the sand. She was just another one-night stand. Well, that one night turned from 2 to 3 to 4, and before I knew it, I was no longer waking up and looking out that door. A house, a wife, 3 kids, my single life had really hit the skids. She was just a one-night stand until I was slipping on that wedding band. Now she's making music in my soul, and in her ears are 2 rocks of coal. As the stars glimmer away and our bodies continue to sway, there's just one thing I pray, that she will still be here in the new light of day. She was my last one-night stand. Now she holds my heart in her hand. Looking out my hospital window, longing for the throb of the bike rather than the shake of the bed as the meds do figure eights in my head, desiring the sun's warmth bleeding through my jacket, so much better than seeing the drugs drip away through their translucent packet. Every hour they check my temperature, yet what I'm really burning up for is white line fever. I would have my feet encased in my leather boots. So much better than thinking about the lawyers and insurance companies being in cahoots. Seeing the eagle soaring high above. Oh no, not another silicon glove. That blue sky sure looks good. They just increased the meds. As the nurses change shift, it's back to sleep, adrift.
Thanks for those, Neville. And yes, extra points indeed, I think, for the effort made. And well done on actually finding a library that was still projecting its Wi-Fi at this time. Awesome. Awesome work. Next up, we have a poem by Jenny Frayne, who had some technical difficulties this month and asked us to read her words for her, and I am most honoured to do so. Her poem is called Viral America, and it begins with a quote from a newspaper. Michigan's Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer has issued a mandate requiring people to wear masks in public enclosed spaces. The issue turned deadly in her state when a store security guard in the town of Flint was shot dead after telling a customer her child had to wear a mask inside the shop. The Age, 8th of May, 2020. Viral America. My stomach, my lungs, my heart all fall ill at the news. Who carries a gun to a shop? What kind of customer pulls out a weapon to shoot at words they don't like? It was a woman, the one who pulled the trigger. We are not told the gender, the age, the loves, the aches and pains, the accomplishments, the frailties of the target. What kind of freedom is it to kill because you carry and you can? The child will lose its mother. The mother is now murderer. The murderer, in protecting the child from wearing a mask to stay healthy, stopped being mother. The person who was shot dead was parent to 9 children. The person who was shot has said everything, has changed the world by dying, by being shot, by becoming prey, or target, or object, or clay pigeon, or nothing. And the child now has no mother. Imagine the look on that child's face, if not yet brutalized by a gun being carried in a pocket or a bag or a hand to a shop. The child, too, would have felt the shot that altered reality, that shot to pieces his, her view of the world. Note, we are not told anything except store security guard and her child. The rest sits smouldering in imagination, malleable yet fixed upon a point and questions about aim, rights, dangerous and ungodly acts, like wearing masks in shops.
Yeah, thanks, Kirsten. Nicely read. And yes, poor old America really is caught in its own little time loop, isn't it? around and around it goes. Time is also on the mind of our next performer, Rhonda Kotzel, with her lovely untitled piece about ageing. Please enjoy this one.
Getting older is like time slipping away beneath our fingers, shedding years like layers of skin flaking around roots, feet. The years lay down the roads and pathways of our lives as if lines on a map, leaving fragments of moments lived behind as we play our different parts, change direction, hands and feet moving through time and space. When she was young, she felt time through her skin, eyes, lips, hungry for the future, time reaching out ahead, the past still new, seconds, minutes, hours, days, years, time after time, all new, time within time, becoming, overlapped and spread like waves on beach weekends, an endless returning to swirl around feet firmly planted in days without end. In age, a memory would stun with the smell of salt air, like being back there. In age, the edges of the maps blur. The waves lie exhausted on the sand before the retreat. The present is quiet. My older crafter's hands now move like well-oiled machinery, deft, unthinking. An easy grace replaces fumbling and curses. Feet with the same dance held within move to a different music. Voice like a ticking clock, talking out the hours. Body a tapestry, edges fraying. Time is warp and weft, time after time an unravelling before melting into the dark.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you very much for sending that in to us, Rhonda. Bit of a diversion for our next piece from George Williams. It's an untitled work of non-fiction, looking at music in war and crisis. And George has also sent us in a pic, which is wonderful. So here's George.
Thinking of the theme, time after time, the intrinsic connection between music and crisis came to mind. Time after time through global crisis of pandemic and war, we're sobered and ennobled through the comfort and connection that music brings. Through the lockdown, we still find ways to connect through virtual choirs, people singing together on their balconies in Italy for solidarity and encouragement, the Anzac Day dawn buglers to remember, and a similar display of appreciation for heroism and service with the weekly Thursday night applause across the country in the UK for NHS carers on the front line, the banging of pots across the world to defy the virus and the isolation wrought. Recently, I was commissioned by the Public Records Office of Victoria to write a book, Ballarat Memorial Concert Band, A Century of Music, about the band that started 100 years ago here in Ballarat by returned servicemen from the Great War. They wanted to memorialise the service. They did it through sound. These servicemen were not foot soldiers. They were battalion bandsmen, musicians. Here's a sneak preview of what I found out. I wanted to understand what on earth music had to do with war. Well, music's been utilised in war for over 2,000 years. We have the Roman historian Vegetius to look to for information about military tactics used during the height of the Roman Empire. His earliest surviving text of De Re Militari dates to the 5th century CE and includes specific information about the critical use of music for battle in ancient Rome. Interestingly, De Re Militari was used throughout the Middle Ages as a guide to war strategies and methods and remained in use into the 18th and 19th centuries, with the book being traditionally gifted to generals. So what was recorded as a comprehensive history became a how-to reference for many centuries of war in Europe. Shakespeare explains the intrinsic relationship between music and war in Othello. The spirit-stirring drum, the ear-piercing fife, the royal banner and all quality, pride, pomp and circumstance of glorious war. Apart from the reverberations of natural disasters, what were the loudest sounds on pre-industrialised planet Earth? Pipes, drums, brass instruments, emanating an aural force with which to be reckoned. Town bells and pipe organs were arguably louder, but not so easily transportable. The bigger the band, the mightier the sound, and the most organised band strongly indicated the most life-threatening militia. In Ballarat in 1854, music was employed to boost morale, coordinate movement, and keep people focused and fighting for the cause in Australia's first democratic rebellion. When conditions became unbearable, the disgruntled diggers, wielding guns and pistols no less, ordered the German bandsmen of the local circus to accompany them on a march to where the stockade was being built. At gunpoint, the musicians were made to perform for the miners all day until at last the makeshift fortress was complete and they were permitted to return to the circus. The rebellion that ensued, of course, went down in history, the Eureka Stockade and the birth of democracy in Australia. Perhaps unlike any other medium, music has power to lift people's spirits and enable and maintain a sense of unity. Music can bring a semblance of humanity back to an inhumane or radically changed reality. In order to risk their lives to serve their country, people have to believe that sacrificing their life is not in vain and that their lives will be remembered and honoured. Both the ritual of clapping on a Thursday night and the reaching out to one another across the chasm of an isolation lockdown echo the bugle calls of war. The last post played at the end of the day to cease fire and honour those who had fallen during the day.
The reveille,
meaning to wake again, for the waking of the troops, symbolising the awakening of the dead in the next and better world. Music's ability to rally the troops and to bring hope cannot be underestimated. You can read more about the importance of music through the experiences of Ballarat bandspeople and what they got up to in the war and peace in Ballarat Memorial Concert Band, Century of Music,
coming out after May the 31st. Thank you, George. It's always quite a treat to get some non-fiction. We have a few people who come and do some memoir and things, and it does make, changing the rhythm from fiction and poetry. So anyone else out there who does a bit of work in the non-fiction space, you are more than welcome anytime to come along to Words Out Loud and read us some of your work. Now we have something rather special. We have a poem from Jackson Cass, who's 23 years old and living here in Ballarat. He's been living here since he was very young. And this is his first time that he's shared his writing in a public space. So, Jackson, we are very honoured to host this tonight. And if you were at our venue, we would ask everyone to give you an extra big round of applause as you came up to the stage. So maybe everyone at home can just clap quietly in your lounge rooms or bedrooms or public transport or however you're listening to this podcast, for Jackson Cass with his poem, Time After Time.
Time and time again, I find myself crawling back into my comfort zone, afraid of any sort of risk that might cross my path should I otherwise leave. But I'll make plans to. Shit, I'm great at making plans. So much so that I'll forget about everything happening around me and only think about the future, because now, nothing happens now, it all happens then. Then something will happen. But I can get so obsessed with looking for something, I forget about the something in that nothing, because nothing happens in the future. And sometimes I remember this. Sometimes I leap with my best foot forward, marching into new territory, only to find my convictions weak. The ground beneath me cracks and opens, so I turn and jump. Reaching for anything familiar, grasping at stability. I'll shed the weight of any new lessons learned just so I can get out of here. And for what? Just so I can be comfortable. So I can say, thank God I didn't end up like them, or see, look how that turned out. It's easy to judge from where I am, but it's hard to understand how people keep doing it. So I'll keep making plans, grand schemes with great rewards. And when I'm facing something new, I'll breathe in deep. And I'll plan for that too.
Yeah, great stuff. Thank you, Jackson, for sending that in to us and letting us air that. And we do hope when we're back in the flesh, as it were, you might be able to come along and get up on the stage with us. That'd be awesome. Now, as promised, poor Davey, our spam victim, we've selected these two pieces of hers to go into the nominal time after time round, being a short story, What Sound Was That?, and then a languid gesture. So enjoy these.
What sound was that? Then into the sunny mountain strode a lonely hunter to the clearing by the lake. The turkeys had watched him. The swans chuckled as the children threw bread at them, playing games. Soon the children, too, moved to another part of the gardens, down the stream, away from the ducks and the swans. The turkeys kept away, far into the bush. Cellulite gums of the morning awoke the eyes of passers-by to this place. Shadows in the scrub threw an odd clump of sticks by a rock, and a trail of dead leaves on the path from the bank to the water. "Move away," said turkey number one. "Run, hurry," shouted turkey number two. "Clear out, be careful." These and other messages were blankly ignored. The ducks had taken to the air as they do after a filling meal, and the swans edged their wings to the man with a hat on his head. His eyes skewed, gauging the quietness of the country. A swan zoomed to the front, displacing the others. She was a muscly, able-bodied specimen with silky feathers and a fine profile. This one he would take first. She was beautiful and stupid. No need to play catch and free games. Just out, a straight hit and back in the pouch. Beating their breasts as their necks craned up and down, holding her dead above the water, the Agathas began the fight. But she had lost faith. The trust she had to cajole the crowds, fancying herself the pick of the bunch, was pointed against her. She had to pay a clean death. "No," said the others in chorus. The turkeys gobbled. Don't say. We didn't tell you. We saw him. A grey revolver. A grey revolver. Would you like for us to push him in?" A huge cry. "Yes, get the bastard." The anger mixed in with tears. A good combination, for he stopped flat in front of 18 turkeys. How did they get there? He thought, and never saw them again. For they cackled and surrounded him, their red throats turning to blood, shouting him out. A long line of bullets hit the sky. The turkeys could not fly. A languid gesture. Lunch was over. And as if to burp, the lazy river cruised against the border. Palm leaf shadows shattered on the sandy sunshine, peering warm on soft banks. As she lay with her hair loose and her mind in not any familiar thoughts, there was a stillness in the air. Sometimes a plastic bag or a tangle of weeds bridged her landing, breaking her currents. Then all of a sudden, a blast was heard. Thunder? Or a gunshot? Were there reasons to take cover? Nothing happened. The afternoon grew longer, like a lady with a parasol. By the sides of the trees, thick strips relieved the flatness of the tough country.
Thank you, Davey, and sorry once again about the spam filter. We hope to see you in person one day soon. In the meantime, I've greatly enjoyed listening to your work tonight. And now we're going to hear from my co-host, Jason. And just a word of warning, you may want to grab a box of tissues for this one.
It's my dad's birthday on Sunday, and this poem looks back to last year. It's called Your Last Birthday. This time last year, we dug you from your bed, your back, your hip, protesting. I just got comfortable, you said. And then came the angry words, the yanking of arm from helping hands, determined to stand alone in your misery, declaring, I will not be dictated to. The scuff of slippers on floor, we few like pallbearers waiting for the fall yet to come. Not if, but when. As the cake was cut and drinks drunk, you refused to be entertained. The scowling, silent king on his miserable throne, like a zoo exhibit, having his photo taken, just waiting for it all to end. My present was a CD of an album we both liked, to go in the borrowed player by your bed that you didn't know how to use, an album only I would play for you, that only you and I would nod to, taking us back to a tape in the dash as the car headed west through red soil plains under blue sky. I think we were happy then. Back in the room with your name on the door, you made for the bed to end the ordeal. The disc you'd not recognised slipped from my hands to shatter apart on the cold tiled floor, to be quickly shovelled in pieces into the topside drawer. But only the case was broken, the music still played, and we'd spin those tracks down memory's lane. I wonder what became of it, that last birthday present, when the room was emptied of everything new. This time this year, we'll hit play on that tape, tap the wheel, not along, as the miles fall away. I think we were happy then. Yes, as you might have gathered, poor old Dad was not a happy camper last year. He would have been 83 on Sunday, and we sure do miss him. So next up, it's a great pleasure to have Julie Bilbury with us. This is Anna's mum, and her piece, Custard Arms.
Custard Arms by Julie Bilbury. I throw a ball. My mind, my power, propels the solid sphere up, out, over. Somewhere in the distance it lands. My missile, home. In truth, custard arms quiver. The solid sphere out, up, and straight down. Time after time, I practice. Okay, actually, I don't. Time after time, I say I will practice, but I don't. In my mind, I am Amazonian. When I hurl, I land on brown sugar soil, vision set down, down the barrel of land, banshee hair struggling under clear-eyed blue sky. In my mind, everything lands. In truth, time after time. I'm a lousy shot.
Thank you, Julie. I too am Amazonian in my mind, less so in practice. But maybe I should work on that as well. Thanks again. To take us out, we have Brooke Vogt again. Brooke sung us out of the podcast last month. Jason, I don't think, would let her get away with a second song on a spoken word.
It was fun. But
she's given us two lovely poems. So thanks, Brooke, and have at it.
Hi, my name is Brooke Vogt, and I'm going to read two poems. The first poem is called Click Send, and it is about sending emails to other people and being a little brave. So here we go. Click Send. Quick, I tell myself, don't reread it, just click send. Say what comes naturally. Something like, I miss seeing your face. How about this time? Does that suit? Say it like I'll be okay, either way. Say it before thinking too much. Be emotionally brave. I tell myself to act like I have a life jacket when I know, in reality, none of us do. And the second poem I'm going to read is about a holiday that I was on earlier in the year, and I was at Queenscliff with my parents, and there's a good secondhand bookstore there. So this poem is called Hope for Helen. Recalled into Queenscliff after lunch somewhere else. It had been 2 years since our last visit to this town, so we had some idea of what to expect. The vintage car parade was on again, with cars cruising up and down the main street. We headed to the second-hand bookstore, the one that I went to last time. I was impressed by the number of good books in front of me. I asked the owner if he had any Helen Garner. He said he thought so and started moving books around. I got excited. I mentioned Paulo Coelho, and he pointed to a few titles, adding that there were more underneath. But I held out hope for Helen. My parents told the owner that he looked like someone they knew. I hope he's still alive, was his reply. I asked him when the car parade would be finishing. When they run out of petrol or grog, he replied. I laughed. And still I held out hope for Helen. In the end, I bought 2 Paulo Coelho books with my mother, insisting on paying for at least some of it, since it was my birthday. Together we gave him the exact change.
Thanks, Brooke, for that lovely finish to our May podcast, Time After Time.
We've run out of time.
We are out of time. Yeah, as you astute listeners may have realised, our themes do have a certain 80s vibe. That continues in June. We're getting our Eurythmics on with Here Comes the Rain Again, just in time for winter in Ballarat. So that podcast is aiming to be aired on June the 18th, when our normal monthly meeting would have occurred. So the deadline for submissions for that will be Sunday, June the 14th. Details on the website where you're listening to this podcast.
That sounded very professional.
No.
I'm just going to, just quick refresher. As I said, very few rules here. The main one is that we would like you to please stick to 5 minutes or less. It can be multiple pieces, as you've heard tonight, but in total, your recording should be no longer than 5 minutes, please. And if possible, we'd prefer an MP3 file. We can do some conversions, but it's easier if we can just get the MP3 from the start. So that would be awesome. And I think that's probably all the guidelines.
Yeah, just bear in mind that we don't know who's going to listen to this, so we have to be a little careful about the content. But
yeah, if your work's going to make a 13-year-old cry, then maybe we can save that for the live shows.
Absolutely. And boy, are we looking forward to that, right? All right, look, thank you very much to everybody who has come on board, sent us their stuff from phones and desktops and whatever else, whoever you've recorded them. Much appreciated to keep this contact with the Ballarat spoken word scene rolling on during this time of ISO.
ISO.
ISO. It's the ISO age.
The ISO age. I'll let you have that.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you have that.
All right.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and send us your work if you have some to send. Otherwise, we look forward to hearing from you over the next month and seeing you at some time in the future.
Absolutely. Stay well, folks. Night.
Bye
for now.